Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight that you have allowed us to see a day that we have never seen before, that you have granted us another opportunity to proclaim the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are thankful, Lord, for our speaker this evening. We pray, Lord, that tonight he stand bold upon those things that can be read about in your divine word of truth. Pray, Lord, that someone listening desires and is seeking the truth of your word. Pray, Lord, tonight that our speaker stand bold upon what your word says. Pray, Lord, that he lifts up your Son, Jesus, so that someone can be drawn to that precious bleeding side where they understand what is required of them to be saved by being baptized in a watery grave of baptism and being added to your Son's church, the Church of Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray that you bless us with the increase. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Funnell, Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're very thankful to have each and every person on the call, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored and distinguished guests of our audience. In fact, you are our VIP. These are very important persons to us. Now, we put this call along with you in mind. We want you to know that in the churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. If a person is going to be saved, he must obey the Bible because it has one of the absolute authority as it pertains to what happens after we die, what God has told us to do. And so we are thankful to have you on the call. So open your Bible, take notes of the things that we talked about tonight. Brother Thomas Perler, our speaker, Thomas Perler, Jr., is one of the elders at the East Jackson Church of Christ in Jackson, Tennessee. His preacher was on Friday night, done a great job. He's been elder since 1972. He's been working in the eldership as a shepherd, pastor, bishop, all that's the same person, same office in the church for those who are visiting. That's a very, very important role in the churches of Christ, our elders. And we're thankful to have him on. I was able to work with him in that congregation, and it was a pleasure to get to know him. Now, tonight, Brother Pearl, we have assigned you a topic based on our theme, Sounding the Trumpet. And I pulled it from Mark 16, when Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it. That's what you would be dealing with tonight. But we want to know, what did he mean by he that believe it? Sound your trumpet for us, Brother Pearl. Let us know.
I want to say good evening, brothers, sisters, guests, and friends. I bring you greetings from the East Jackson Church of Christ in Jackson, Tennessee. As they said, I am Thomas Pearl, Jr., one of the elders of the congregation where LaVale C. Hayes is our pulpit minister and Samuel T. Jones is our family life minister. I am humbled and thankful to Brother Brooks for this opportunity to sound the trumpet on the topic he has given for me tonight. Before we start our Bible study tonight, there is one thing that we need to establish. Since we are studying the Bible, we need to understand that my opinion does not matter, nor does your opinion matter. The only thing that really matters is what the Scripture says, because no one gets to claim their own truth. Paul reminds us of this in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Scriptures instructs us in righteousness, that's right according to God, and equips the Christian to do all that God would have him to do. In Jesus' prayer to his Father, he asked his Father to sanctify his disciples in John 17:17. And he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. To sanctify means to set apart or to make holy. So if we're going to be made holy, it will have to be by the truth of God. Truth does matter. And then Jesus tells us about what's going to judge us in the last day. In John 12:47, Jesus says, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But then verse 48, he says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So in the last day, in the last day of judgment, it will not be your opinion that judges us. It will only be the word of God. The Bible is the standard for which, for what is truth. My topic, as it's stated tonight, has been "He that believeth," Mark 16 and verse 16. The verse says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Brother Brooks asked me to speak on the beginning of this verse, "He that believeth." The New King James says, "He who believes." The English Standard Version says, "Whoever believes." In this verse, Jesus points to the fact that a person must believe. He is to continue to believe, and the Hebrew writer even lets us know that it's impossible if we don't have it. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer says, "But without faith," and this word faith is from the same root, the word that they use in Mark 16:16, believe, "it is impossible to please him," that's God, "for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So with faith, with belief, one is saved. Without it, one is condemned. The next question might be then, what does it mean to believe? As I said, the Greek word that's used in this verse, it means to trust in, it means to be convinced or persuaded, it also means to entrust or commit to. The definition of the word shows that to believe is more than just acknowledging something. Believe is trusting something true, convinced because it is true, and entrusting or committing to it. So he that believeth. The next question is, what should he believe? Verse 15 of this same chapter, Mark 16, gives us the answer. And it reads, "He saith," that's Jesus, "said unto them," his apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Jesus is saying to his apostles, "I want you to go and proclaim the gospel." The gospel is that which he believes. The word gospel means good message or good news, more often good news. The gospel is so important, Jesus wants every person in the world to hear it. The gospel is something that you need to hear, and you should want to hear it because it is good news. You must hear the gospel in order to know what you must do to be saved. So he that believeth must believe the gospel. But then the next question is, what is the gospel? As Brother Newsom would say, I'm glad you asked that question. We find in Acts, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the Bible says this. Paul, that he writes to the Corinthian church, says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Paul says, what I got, that's what I'm giving to you. You have received it, that means you've obeyed it, and you're continuing in it. And also in verse 2 he says, "By which ye also ye are saved." You're saved by the gospel, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul lets us know that the gospel consists of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To appreciate what Jesus did for us, we need to know who Jesus is. Because of mankind, he would be crucified, buried, and raised again because the Scriptures foretold these truths. in Acts chapter 2, when the apostles preached the first gospel sermon, they reminded the Jews of who Jesus was by pointing them to the scriptures in Acts 8 and verse 30, in Acts chapter 2. In Acts 8:35, Philip is speaking with the Ethiopian eunuch after he had read Isaiah 53. And what did the scripture say? He began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. What does the Bible say about Jesus? In Genesis 3:15, the Bible lets us know Jesus will have victory over Satan. In that passage, God speaks to the serpent, and he tells the serpent that there is going to be a conflict that will exist between his seed and the seed of woman. And that seed of woman is Jesus. Jesus would suffer a minor blow because of Satan, but Jesus would deliver a devastating blow to him. The Bible also lets us know that all nations in the earth will be blessed because of Jesus. God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 3. He said, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Paul verifies God's prophecy was talking about Jesus when he wrote to the Galatian church in Galatians 3 and verse 16. And the Bible says there, now Paul, as he writes to them, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Jesus is the prophet. All must hear and obey. That's what God told Moses, as Moses spoke to the people of the children of Israel. And he said, "The Lord thy God," in Deuteronomy 18:15, "the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." Then Peter and John comes along as they were going to the temple, and they verified the prophecy was talking about Jesus in Acts 3 and verse 22. And they say, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him ye shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet, he shall be destroyed from among the people." The apostle lets us know that was talking about Jesus. And then the Bible also tells us in Isaiah chapter 7, this talks about the miracle birth of Jesus, which was foretold by Isaiah over 700 years before his time. Isaiah was assuring the king of Judah, Ahaz, that he would not fall to the enemies who wanted to go to war against him by a prophecy or a sign about the miracle birth of Jesus. And Isaiah said to him, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew records the fulfillment of this prophecy. In Matthew 1, in verse 22 and 23, it says, Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. In chapter 53 of Isaiah, as I spoke to you earlier, which the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, Isaiah tells us about the coming of Christ into the world. That whole chapter, it talks about how Jesus was despised and hated, how he was wrongfully accused, being put to death. Jesus would suffer a cruel death for the salvation of the world. Paul talks to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, and he explains to them that God the Son becomes man. And I'm reading this from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I like the way it reads. And it reads as following, starting with verse 6. Who, talking about Jesus, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men, and when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow to those that are, who are in the earth, are those in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God the Father also declares that Jesus is his Son. He did it in Matthew 3 at verse 17. This was at the baptism of John. And then in John 17, 1 through 5, that's the one that we want to take a look at today. The Father declared that Jesus is his Son. That is the Son of God. Matthew 17, verse 1 says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Wasn't he right? If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Yet while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Jesus, as he taught his disciples on many occasions, and this one in Matthew 20 and verse 17, Jesus foretells his death, burial, and his glorious resurrection. Says verse 17, Matthew 20, Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, who came to him by night, and he told Nicodemus why he had come into the world. And Jesus said a very familiar passage, John 3:16 and 17. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Paul comes along and he tells us why it is that Christ came to save the world. He tells us in Romans chapter 3, we look at verse 10, he says, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus came because mankind had sinned. The Bible lets us know in 1 John 3 and verse 4 that sin is a transgression, a violation of God's law. It put us out of fellowship with God. And we find that it separates us. James 5 tells us that James 1, rather, in verse 15 tells us that when death is finished, it brings forth death. This death is a separation from God. Sin alienates us from God. And Jesus says, if we die in our sins, where he is, we cannot come. When you read John 8 and verse 21, Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. So sin is the problem that all mankind has. And Jesus came so that we might be free from our sins. He that believeth must believe the gospel. The gospel talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which must be obeyed in order to be saved. Paul talks about the importance of the gospel in Romans 1:16-17, and he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, what must he believe? He must believe the gospel. All right, when he hears the gospel, what must he do? He must obey the gospel. We must obey the gospel. Jesus tells us what it is that we must do in order to obey the gospel. Jesus tells us in Matthew 16:15, Jesus tells the disciples to preach and to proclaim the gospel. So from this we already know that you have to hear the gospel. But I love what Jesus says in John 6:45. And it says this. Jesus said, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that have heard and have learned of the Father cometh unto me. Jesus says that God wants us to hear. And not only hear, he wants us to learn. And through that learning, it allows us to come to him. Jesus wants us to learn of him so we can make an informed decision. Learning of the Father allows us to take the next step in our obedience to the gospel. First of all, we need to hear it. Second of all, we need to believe it. And we've already found out that belief is more than just acknowledging that something exists. You must trust what you have heard, be persuaded that it is true, and then commit yourself to it. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:2, for unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. And the Lord just lets us know is that you can hear the gospel, but if you don't believe it, that is, to mix it with faith, it would profit you nothing. John 8:24, Jesus said, I say therefore unto you, again, that if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot not come. The next thing that we must do is that we must repent. Repent is where we have to have a change of mind that leads to a change of actions. It means to be remorseful for what we've done. Jesus was talking to his fellow brethren in Luke 13:3, and they were more concerned about the sins of others, and Jesus said it twice in verse 3 and verse 5. He said, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is that turning point. If we do not turn, we will perish. And then our next step after repentance is that we must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Romans 10:9-10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A lot of people stop there. But verse 10 tells us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And we can see a beautiful example of this with Philip and the eunuch. In Acts 8, looking at verse 36, it says, and they went on their way. Already in verse 5, I told you, the Bible said that he began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. But then verse 36 says, and as they went on their way, there came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that noble confession. And what did they do? He commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. That is the next step, baptism. Jesus said in our verse, in our theme verse, to go, that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But also in Matthew 18 and 28, rather, and 19, he said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Baptism is to dip, to emerge, to submerge. And what we find out is that's what the saints did on the first day on the Pentecost after Christ's ascension. We find out that the apostles preached, and the Bible lets us know in Acts 2 and verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, and then once they were baptized, the Bible lets us know in verse 47, it says, God put them where he wanted them to be, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added them to the church daily, such as should be saved. The Lord added them, well, to what church? His church. Jesus had promised his church would be built in Matthew 16, 18, where he said unto them, said unto thee, talking to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And now we see on that first Pentecost, after the ascension of Jesus back to heaven, the apostles preached, the people heard, and they, and Peter told them in verse 38 to repent and be baptized. They were, and they were added to the Lord's church. What we find out is that he that believeth, he will be baptized, and that he will be saved. I pray that I said something tonight that would be beneficial to someone and help them on their journey to learn the truth and obey it. One thing we have learned tonight is that in the end, it will not be about what you think or what I feel that would judge us, but it will be the Word of God. And what Jesus wants the world to hear is the gospel and to obey it. Paul gives an urgent warning to those that would procrastinate or not obey the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9, he says this, and unto you who are troubled, rest with us, talking to the saints, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Two groups of people, those that don't know God, some folks say God doesn't exist, we'll see, and then those that will not obey the gospel of Christ. And it says in verse 9, who shall those people, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? It is my prayer that each of us will consider our ways and obey the will of God. Thank you again, Brother Brooks, for this opportunity to serve by sounding the trumpet on He That Believeth. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Pearl. We appreciate you. We appreciate your preacher, Brother Hayes. We appreciate him for joining us and our extended invitation to preach this good news. Certainly tonight you have told those who are listening that they must believe in order to be saved. Amen. Preach the word must be mixed with faith, so you got to believe. And if you believe, you will be baptized. If you believe, you'll be a member of the Church of Christ. That's how you. That's what you got to do to be saved according to the Bible. And we wanted you to hear it just like this. We were sounding our trumpet this month, and we trumpet meaning the word of God and lift it up like a trumpet. That's what God told us. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. So if you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you want to be baptized, you are one of those who believe it and you want to be baptized, become a member of the true church, then get back with the person who invited you to our call and tell them you're ready to obey, and they will make the arrangements, I'm sure. Members of the Church of Christ will make the arrangement and get you to the water and to the congregation near you that we consider sound. Now, If they can't help you, go ahead and email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will certainly extend our hand to help you in any way, whether you need a class, desire to be baptized. Want to help you find a place, find someone to study with you, and find a congregation to carry out the baptism. We can do that for you. And if you want to go back and listen to this message or any of the sermons that we've had on our call since the month of May, you can go back to our website, hollowheightscoc.net. That's hollowheightscoc.net. And there you find all of the recorded messages. Even tonight should be up tomorrow. You'll be able to listen. So we thank you for calling. Let's pray to God. Father, we thank you for your many blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus, our Christ, your Son, who you so loved the world, gave him. He gave his life. Thank you for the blood of the cross, Father, that will wash our sins away in baptism. The same blood purchased your Son's church, the Church of Christ. We pray we not be guilty and add it to your word and take it from it. We preach it as written without fear or favor. They understand the charge that we are under to preach the word, your word, and be instant in season and honest. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And that's what we're attempting to do, Father. We pray your blessings upon us and our speakers. Thank you for all those who volunteered to come on our call. And we want to pray a special prayer for our visitors, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, that they have heard this truth and their hearts are open to receive with meekness your engrafted word, was able to save their souls. We thank you for them and we pray for them. We pray for our brothers and sisters across the nation who are listening. They be edified and encouraged, and if need be, they will restore back to the truth according to the scripture. We love you, Father. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Monday night is done for this week. Tomorrow night, all the way out of Biden, Texas, Austin, Wiggins, it's time to talk about the God, liturgy of this world. Wednesday night, here's the elder, Glenn Williams, Biden, Texas, talking about blinded minds. Those minds that have been blinded, who are those people? You're going to sound the trumpet about that on Thursday night. Sounding the trumpet of religious tolerance, flattering tolerance to be dealt with by the Lewis Parker Ford and out of Sugar Land Church of Christ, Sugar Land, Texas, coming around him on Friday, closing it out. We'll be one of the elders there, but Roy Johnson. You're going to sound his trumpet about baptism. We don't want to miss this week. Please join us again. We look forward to having all of you on the call. Invite someone. Let's pack the call. Great call to get tonight. It's been a great call since the beginning of January. Excited, so excited to have so many people calling in. We love you all. Continue to call. Let's support the call. Members of the Church of Christ, invite visitors. It's a great evangelistic opportunity. If a congregation we're looking for a program to support, this is us. We got a good one going right here. I think it's historical. If we just look back at history, I think we'd have made history with the Nationwide Gospel Meeting and go a whole year. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. If you want to support us, that's fine. If you don't, pray for us. Continue to support us through prayer and attendance. That'll be great. God will provide. We love you.